This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
ARCHICAD is the official BIM software of the Entree Architect community. ARCHICAD BIM software enables design, collaboration, visualization, and project delivery no matter the project size or complexity. With flexible licensing options and a dedicated support team to guide us along the way, ARCHICAD is an ideal choice for firms and projects of any size. I encourage you to reach out and talk to the folks at Graphisoft by visiting our own dedicated webpage at graphisoft.com/US/EntreeArchitect. There's even an exclusive special offer waiting for our Entree Architect community. Go now to graphisoft.com/US/EntreeArchitect and see how Graphisoft is positioned to help make your architecture firm a success. That's graphisoft.com/US/EntreeArchitect. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Nitin Govala, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me here. I think we are on different parts of the globe now. Yours is a nighttime, mine is a morning time. So great to be here.
Yeah, where are you right now?
I am now in Tokyo. I just arrived beginning of this week. It's a trip which happened after 3 years now. And it's an important country and market for our business. So happy to be back in Japan.
Yeah. All right. Great. Let me introduce you so people know who you are. Nitin Govala is an engineer and an entrepreneur and a meditation trainer and the managing director, senior VP at Surge Ferrari, a leader in the flexible composite material sector. Based in Singapore, his scope of operations covers territories across Asia Pacific, Middle East, and Africa. And Nitin is also a heartfulness practitioner for almost 20 years and a certified trainer for 16 years. And so I am fascinated by everything that you are doing, Nitin. So I'm interested in having this conversation about the work that you do, but even more so, I'm very interested in heartfulness and learning more about what that is and how that might help me and help the community that is listening. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Same here, Mark, and I'm more than happy to share whatever I can in this short conversation which we'll have, and then I'm more than happy to receive requests or emails anyway directly if people want to know more. So,
all right. That sounds good. Let's start with your origin story. Let's go back as far as you want to go back. What inspired you to do what you do? And maybe when did you discover your passion for what you do?
That's a good question. So my origins, obviously, I'm an Indian. I was born in India. So my a big part of my life, I would say, until, if I remember correctly, until early 2000, I've been in India. So I studied there, did my engineering, did also a management degree in India, then started working in the building sector, but I would say paints, which is connected to the building. So that was my first career move. Moved also into dairy. And that was the time, end of 1990s and early 2000, where I felt that something is missing. A lot of things were changing in the global world and in the economic situation across the world and in India. And I felt that I needed to kind of upgrade and update myself. That's where I felt the need to do an international MBA. And I decided to move to Paris to do an MBA, full-time MBA at HEC Paris, world renowned leader in global MBA education. So that was an amazing experience. And in fact, not many people know that that was the first time ever I left India. In fact, you know, that was my first ever overseas trip, if you may say so. And now in the last 22 or 18, actually now it's 2003, December, I left. I flew out from India. So it's now we're talking about nearly 19 years or it will become 20. I would have now traveled to more than 40 countries across the world, you know, for more or less across for business. So it's been an interesting story that way. So it was a big move at that point of time to leave your job and do a full-time MBA. But it was well worth it because it gave me a real nice exposure. The MBA had a 6 months option of doing a professional project. So I did with a French company. Which was very close to the Alps, or at the foothill of the tallest mountain, Mont Blanc. So I was there, and then they liked my work, so they offered me to start full time. So I worked there for a couple of years, then moved to Asia and remained in the building sector. So I started with home automation sector, a French company which is a world leader in home automation. So they provide automation systems for blinds, awnings, gates, doors, and everything. And now they are integrated home automation systems. Then moved into roofing, where that was my first. And so I've been in now Asia for the last 14 years, also based out of Singapore. So I was earlier in roofing, and for the last 6 plus or nearly 7 years now with Search Ferrari, which is a world leader in composite materials. So people call it a different name, sometimes tensile membranes, sometimes technical fabrics, if I may say so, both for interior and exterior applications. So if I talk about a big stadium or an airport, that's also what we do. If you talk about a nice building in the inside with nice blinds, beautiful awnings, you know, acoustics fabrics, that's also we do. Fish farming cages, or for that matter, the domes for the biogas, or water storage tanks. So that also the company does. So we are across all market segments. And it's here I handle Asia Pacific anyway, as you mentioned, and Middle East and Africa. Plus since last year or this year, I've been also handling two global product divisions also, because we identify four strategic product markets as we've split our business. And managing that. So my journey mostly has been answering your question. Sorry, I stretched it too far. Has been in the building material and construction related industry. And I'm happy to be that, mostly B2B, but sometimes B2B2C also. And the meditation journey, which is the second part you talked about, has been just started in India, accidentally, I would say. One of my sales guys, He was practicing this practice of meditation, and his parents were trainers. So he used to talk to me a lot. And I always, whenever I meet him, still when I go to India and we meet in different gatherings, I always say, you are the best salesperson that you could actually convince me to start this meditation. So it's been an interesting journey that way. And ever since, and after a year or two, I also became a trainer, even though it's not like it's hierarchical that you become a trainer by default. So you need to, because trainers are volunteers. In this practice, we don't charge for meditation. So we give our personal time to share with people so that to help them to start meditation. So it's a time you're planning to give. You need to understand the practice well. You need to do it yourself and then be able and willing to give time so that people can benefit from it. So I became a trainer after just 1 or 2 years of starting my meditation. I've been a trainer now nearly for 20 plus years. Use that also to share with people across the world because my work takes me there and we have practitioners everywhere in the world. So I get a chance sometimes to meet them. And sometimes now we do a lot of sessions for corporates. I've been doing that for many years now. COVID times were virtual. Earlier, we used to do physically. So yeah, that's been the journey. Both of things have been connected. I think the fact that I am on the road, or I would say on the air, in the air in that sense, for nearly 50% of my time, actually meditation has helped me, has kept me afloat and, you know, just keep me in that balance which I need. When you're working across time zones, people, cultures, and everything.
What's your role at Serge Ferrari? Like, what do you actually do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So the way we've divided the world is in two parts. So I manage this part of the geography, which geographically is very big, starting if you start from, say, Middle East, and it goes the whole of Africa until North Asia, which is Japan, China, and to Oceania, Australia, New Zealand, and the Southeast Asia. So it's a general management role. We have, under my area, we have territories which are headed by general managers for those countries and territories. So it's a total profit and loss general management role. Plus, we also have a manufacturing location in Taiwan. I report directly to the CEO. And the other part is the Americas and Europe, which is handled by my colleague. At the same time, as I said, we have 4 strategic markets, which we call as like solar protection, which is related to blinds, awnings, both interior and exterior. We have furniture and marine products. So that's handled by my colleague, the same guy who manages the other geography. I manage the bigger structures, tensile structures, outdoor, you know, stadiums, airports, facades, and also modular, the event tents, the lodges in when you go to safaris, those kinds of exquisite construction and tents and villas. So those kinds of products and for like truck tarpaulin, other protection, biogas, all those things, I manage that in globally also. So there's that global footprint and then there's the regional footprint which I manage. So obviously that also means that I need to travel a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of travel and such a wide range of products.
Yeah.
That it is flexible composite materials, which essentially is fabric, right? It's structural fabric or composite fabric. But it's also it's everything from curtains to, you know, stadium roofs. And so it must be such a massive amount of information that you need to understand and be able to, you know, to be able to communicate on.
Well said, actually, Mark, because it's true that when you look at it, it's very diverse, very wide, and a lot of it comes from the fact that Serge Ferrari nearly invests 4% of its turnover every year in R&D and innovation. That's a key element. That's why we've been able to develop and work according different applications. The unique part, which I learned because I'm one of the few in my company who don't come from the industry. Otherwise, I mean, this industry is in a way very small. What I noticed was that we are the only transversal, I would say horizontally spread company across segments. And while it makes it interesting, but it also makes it challenging because in these verticals, we would have a very specific competitor or two who are only focused on that market segment. So it kind of makes it interesting, but also sometimes very challenging because while we are very diverse, so it helps because in certain countries, a lot of our business may come from 1 or 2 market segments. In other countries, it could be exactly the opposite in other two market segments. And in some countries, we may do business in all the market segments. So in a way, it keeps us, helps us grow and, and manage. But at the same time, sometimes you really find, really have to dig deeper, because there would be a competitor who's so much only existing because of that market segment that obviously they would not let that position go. So that's the challenging part. But then that's what makes the job interesting. And you know, that's also the reason I enjoy, because as you said, you step into another country, like in Japan, I am here. It's a totally different market. This would be the biggest one for us in the modular structure, where we use fabrics for warehousing and extension of factories, which you don't see in any other part of the world for various reasons. So that makes it very unique. I mean, this is a market segment which really does not even exist in other parts of the world. So it's a very unique one. And yes, I mean, it makes it interesting.
Yeah, I can imagine that it would be very interesting, but probably also very stressful, which is where the heartfulness and the mindfulness comes from, right? Or helps. Can you share a little bit about how meditation helps you on a daily basis with the work that you do?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the fact that, so first I'll just give a gist of what kind of meditation I do, so that, because there are now, it's becoming a buzzword, a lot of people talk about it, and there's always a very different understanding. So the heartfulness meditation, as the name goes, is meditation on the heart. And so it's a quiet meditation. There's no chanting. There's no, doing anything else. You just gently close your eyes, gently bring your attention to your heart, and just meditate with a thought that the light or the source of light is inside your heart. So it's an initial thought. The idea is that you have to calm the mind and regulate the mind. So, and that's the way I differentiate when I speak to people or explain. I always say that you don't concentrate to meditate. You meditate to concentrate. People make a mistake that they say, okay, I need something to focus on to meditate. But the moment you use the word focus or concentrate, you're using your mind. So how can you use the same tool which you want to calm itself? So you need to, you know, look at it differently, that you need to meditate on the most subtlest of things, so that the results, the byproducts like concentration, focus will automatically happen. Because when the mind is at rest, you're not going through this churning of thoughts, automatically the knowledge and the information exists inside you. It will just, you know, what does the word discovery mean? Discovery means something already existed. It's just that I was missing it to see it. So when the mind is at rest, it just comes to your mind. Sometimes I get the best of ideas, even though I'm not thinking about it, just when I'm meditating. So what meditation does is it calms the mind. So in that sense, I think you really don't need to try too hard, you know, just to say focus. You can just generally call on yourself. And if you're able to develop that capacity to connect with your inner self, S with a capital S, actually. So then it's easy for you to just, you know, tune in that sense, or even disconnect to things or disconnect from the things which are disturbing you. Because since you become so sensitive, you also know that this particular thing is bothering me, disturbing me. So let's disconnect that. And one of the things I'm always asked, okay, how long you do? So normally I try to do 30, 45 minutes, 1 hour in the morning, 15 to 20 minutes in the evening, and a small one just before I sleep. And the question is always said, how as professionals, we can take out that much time, an hour or an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I always answer them to say that for me, it's exactly opposite. The fact that I am doing meditation for that much time, it means that I have more time at hand than the reverse way. So I don't look at it that I'm taking out time for it. I look at it, it's part of my life, like getting up in the morning, brushing your teeth, taking a shower. So, and in that sense, the fact that I do it, I feel I have more time at hand. But it's difficult to just listen and understand sometimes, because people, once you practice it, then you realize it, what I'm trying to say. But yes, initially, definitely one has to just, do with conviction and believe that, yes, let me try to be regular. Let me try to see. And then you will see the result for yourself.
Right. And you don't have to do it for an hour and 45 minutes a day, right? You can do it for five minutes.
5 minutes as to have a taster, 15 minutes also to have a taster. And I always say, okay, you know, start with 10. I mean, start with at least 15 minutes and maybe say every day I will increase a minute.
Yeah.
You know, so over a period of time, you may just end up by the end of the month doing 30 minutes and you would not even realize. And actually, you will see the difference when you do longer versus lesser. Because, you know, imagine we are doing meditation now. Now, if you're starting now, you'll take few minutes to just settle your body, just settle right. yourself, just start the process. So the longer you're able to do, it's better. But okay, just to say, now sit down, close your eyes, sit for half an hour, 45 minutes, it would be difficult. Let people get a taste of it, a flavor of it, and then slowly, slowly, they can keep on adding time and just do it. So you could do it. The good thing is, the beauty is, you can do any time of the day. It's better if you start with the morning meditation, but if you cannot, for whatever reasons, you're working night shifts, you have other commitments, then do it in the day whenever you have time, you know, and that helps you take through that. We also have an element, what we call as a kind of a cleaning, where you that's a different kind of meditation also. That's part of the system where you can remove the burdens of the day so that you don't carry forward them at night, even at subconscious level, and even the next day when you start. So that way you're also able to have a good sleep, you remove the burdens, and then next day you start fresh again with your meditation. So these kinds of things have helped me a lot. I do it in flights when I'm flying. When I land, a good meditation, you know, I have personally felt can compensate for me even a sleep of equivalent to 3 to 4 hours, a good 45 minutes of meditation. I've seen that actually. So that that also helps me in that sense with the work and the stress, which is always comes with it.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. There's a lot to love about being an entrepreneur architect, right? But trying to figure out our financials on our own is not one of those things. Luckily, we have FreshBooks, the all-in-one accounting solution that's built for business owners like us. FreshBooks takes all the not-so-fun parts of running a business, from building and tracking invoices, to managing online payments, to organizing expenses, and automates them with features like the digital bills and a receipt scanner, saving you up to 11 hours a week in the process. It's also super easy to get up and running, and the award-winning FreshBooks support team, they are always available to answer any questions along the way. Compare that to some of the other financial management tools out there. Try FreshBooks for free for 30 days, no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/architect to get started today. That's freshbooks.com/architect. So what will you do with 11 more hours each week? This episode is brought to you by Arcat.com. We all have that one story, that one project that had such a unique situation that it required a solution that you had rarely considered before. We share these stories in private professional circles with our friends and our colleagues, but there has never been a collection of these stories of conflict and triumph all in one place until now. Detailed is a podcast series that features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who share their insights and expertise as they highlight some of the most complex, interesting, and oddball building conditions that they have ever encountered, and the ingenuity it took to solve them. Join host Charisse Lakeside, aka CSI Kraken, a senior specifications writer at RDH Building Science, as she uncovers lessons learned to help you navigate similar challenges that may arise in your next project. Detailed, an original podcast by ArtCat. Listen and subscribe right now at arcat.com/podcast. That's arcat.com/podcast, arcat.com/podcast. Detailed, every building has a story. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. Could you be more specific about the results, right? So you do this practice, and that's another thing to understand, that this is a practice, right? You're not going to be good at it at first, yes. Right? It's going to be complicated. Your mind is going to continue to spin, and all these this information is going to come in and out, and you're going to have to practice letting that information go, right? It'll be there when you get back. Don't worry. So you just let it go, my instinct is to say focus on your heart, but you're saying the word focus is not the right word. So what is, can you talk a little bit about the heart and the intent of that?
Yes. So as I mentioned, the whole thing is to bring your attention to the subtlest thing. And if I use the word focus, the focus should be on the most subtle thing. Now, non-material, if I may say so. If I say focus on nothing, people will get confused. So
right.
Closest to something like nothing. So we say, okay, the heart is the purest thing. It's the central part of any human being. And if you recall also, you know, whenever we identify people, we say he or she is a good-hearted person, warm-hearted.
Right.
Heart becomes kind of a central to existence, not only because it's pumping blood and we are breathing and we are living, but also the way, you know, it integrates into the human being. So it's closest to the subtle. And the idea here is that just to, when we say bring your attention, is to just kind of, you know, bring your attention from the mind to your heart and just rest there. And when I say the element of source of light, it's also just to, I could have said, you know, bring your attention to nothing in your heart, but it's difficult to just to say an element of source of light, to bring your attention and rest there. Now, again, we are not trying to see the color of light, whether it's white or yellow or whatever. It's just an initial thought and we rest there. And you're absolutely right. Thoughts will come, you know, yeah. And the idea should not, we should never start meditation with the idea that I want to stop thoughts, because here the Newton's law works very strongly. The more you try to force to stop, the more they come back strongly, you know. So that's what we say in meditation. Let thoughts come, let them pass by as a movie reel, as someone's unwanted guest, where you are maybe organizing a party, somebody comes in, you did not invite, you don't pay attention. Same thing. So thoughts gain power when you pay attention to them. They are already there in the environment around us. If you don't pay attention to them, they are no, there's no power. So that thought dissipates. Same thing, the next one, third one. So the with the practice element, why that's important is over a period of time, you may say, oh, my last 1 week's meditation has been bad. You said I'll feel relaxed, but there were so many thoughts. But what you don't realize, you're tuning yourself. And maybe the eighth day when you do, you'll just feel that the half an hour passed as if it was only 1 minute and you did not even realize that half an hour has gone. So there's that relativity concept also you really experience for yourself. Sometimes when you're so much lost in thoughts, you would feel, oh, it's already half an hour, but when you see your watch, it's only 5 minutes. But the reverse also happens, that you've gone so deep that you did not even realize when 45 minutes happened, and you were just thinking, oh, it's only 5 minutes. So it works both ways. And that's the journey. It's not like a course. When we say it's a journey. So it's not like you do 1 month and it's done, you know. And I mean, there are practices like that, but here it's like a journey. You build on every day what you do. So it's a building block. You build on every day, and that's the way. And once you get the flavor of it and start enjoying it, then that's the last thing you would want to leave it, because you are able to see for yourself. Now, the results would vary for each person to see for himself or herself.
Yeah. So what are some of the results that they may experience?
Well, first of all, absolutely the mind getting relaxed. I mean, in fact, I would say even before that, the first reaction I've always got most of the time, this is the first time I was not sleeping, but I could keep my eyes closed for 30 minutes. That's the first reaction. Because we only associate by eyes closed while we are sleeping, very rarely for other things. So that's the first thing, that I did not feel to need to open my eyes even though I was not sleeping. But after that, the immediate element that I could feel relaxed, calm, I felt I had either less thoughts or my mind was, you know, not going from this to this. They feel fresh, I would say, fresh and light when they come out of it. And they are able to see that they are able to carry it throughout the day, that they don't feel getting exhausted or mentally tired. Those are the things. Concentration, focus, productivity, I think those are things which come naturally, because the moment you have clarity, a lot of things automatically fall. Beyond there are many more things. People also, I suppose, we've heard people getting clarity of vision, a vision meaning that what they want to really do in their life. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, look, take a step back, that is this something I want to do, what I'm doing in my life? So those kinds of questions also come, because these are things which kind of, when you're clear in your heart, or you're, you know, I've been connected to your inner self, those kinds of questions come. Those are the things you ask yourself. So these are things also which happen, but I don't talk about them earlier because, you know, everybody, again, as I said, journey is different. To remove the hustle bustle, I think even if you look at it a small way, that, okay, I could be just at rest and peace. Then the second practice, which I talked about, what we call as cleaning, actually, that in a way helps them to remove the burdens immediately. So something is bothering you just now. We have a practice where we say, you know, do it for 5 minutes, where you work on yourself. You say, this thing is basically going away from the back of your my body in the form of smoke or vapor. So suddenly, mm-hmm. you have a difficult conversation. You are too much agitated. Come back, sit in your chair. If you want to meditate, meditate, but it would be difficult because the mind is still churning. The other way is remove that trace, because the thing has already happened. You cannot change it, but it has left a trace on your heart or an impression on your heart. Now, if you're able to remove that, at least the after effect of that is lighter. You remove the reason for that agitation. And then when you come back to the same situation or with the same person, you're not burdening yourself with what happened, and you're looking at it in a fresh way. So these are the things also you can immediately see the effects of that in professional, personal, or any kind of interactions.
Yeah, I love that. I love all of it. I have also, there's two other things that when I meditate that help me, is one that it gives me an intentional break, right? That I'm so busy. I have so many things going on in my life. And when I have a practice of meditation, and I come and go, right? I wish I would do it all the time. I think you're going to inspire me to start again. But it gives me a break where I have it planned in my day that I'm going to stop and I'm going to do this meditation, right? And so it gives me that break that I'm looking for. The other thing it does is it gives me a sense of accomplishment, right? When I set a goal to do this for a certain amount of time, and I accomplish that, it gives me that sense of accomplishment, which leads to other goals, right? When you achieve one small little micro goal, those goals sort of add up to other bigger goals. And so by just doing a simple meditation once a day, that could lead to achieving other goals as well, just from having that sense of accomplishment every day.
Mark, if you permit, I'll steal both of your points, actually, as my writing notes and everything. But absolutely, you said it's your me time. You really, that's your time, right. Frankly. That's the, and this, that, and not, I mean, I would say no better well said than what you said as a sense of accomplishment. Because when I come out of meditation, and I was a loss at loss of words, in fact, but you explained it beautifully, because you feel you've done something, even though you've done nothing. Frankly, you know, that's right. That's the challenge here sometimes for people to understand that, okay, you were sitting with your eyes closed, you were doing nothing, in fact, you know, and then there are, we've had cases where people share, okay, when they do in their families, maybe one person starts, the spouse does not start, or other family members, they believe in something else. They say, what do? You just get up in the morning, sit for half an hour doing nothing, you know? So it's from the perspective of every person. But actually, it's true that for yourself, yeah, one would have, I mean, we would have accomplished a lot. And that's what we see in that sense as we go along the day or the following days. But it's absolutely true. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I love bringing my heart into it. It's not something that I've done in the past. I've listened to my heartbeat in the past as sort of a focus. I've always, I've focused mostly on my breath and sort of counting breaths. That's one of the techniques that I've learned. But I love the idea of focusing on your heart, bringing your attention to your heart, and seeing it as the source of light, right? That, and I could, you know, being creative people with big, you know, imaginations, that's not hard to do, right? To stop for a little while, turn everything off, let those thoughts come and go, right? They're going to come. So just, you know, walk them right out the back door, and just focus on your heart and being the source of light. I love that. And I'm going to definitely, you know, add that to my practice. And I'm going to start again. You have inspired me, and I'm going to start again. Because I remember it was probably a year ago that I stopped, but I did it for several years, and I want that feeling back. So I'm going to start again.
I'm happy to propose you. I mean, we are miles away from each other, but, you know, we can do it even remotely. So whenever you have time or wish, we could even do a 20-minute virtual session. I mean, last 2-3 years, we've been doing like that. Later, I can connect you to the heartfulness trainers anywhere in your town, and you can actually take a face-to-face session, which normally is 30 minutes. The whole idea is basically to disconnect the mind, to not use the mind in the meditation process. That's where really you will be able to regulate and calm your mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. Before we wrap up, Nitin, I'd like to ask you the one question that I ask everybody, and this could be, you know, any answer that you want. What's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Well, I'll give two answers. One on the kind of the business side, on the business side, because we also talk to a lot to the architects when we talk about our products and working on it, that never hesitate to experiment. Dream big, because I know that sometimes part of the things are lost, that their imagination, nobody is able to convert into reality, you know, and they come with crazy ideas, good ideas. In fact, just as a small point, one of the things which I pushed for in our company, and finally we did. So we hired one person who's kind of a designer with a lot of technical knowledge, whose job is now that, okay, at the initial stages, when architects are still working on concepts, a small firm or a big firm, sometimes what they lack is supporting coming from outside, where somebody can transform their imagination, which is still in a thought, to something in reality. And knowing that that's a business which is related to outside structures mainly, I was really pushing on that concept in our company. So it took time for them to understand. Finally, we hired somebody this year. So that is something why I bring that point, is that don't hesitate to ask for people or companies or, you know, the company representatives, whether it's Search Ferrari or anyone who's working in different categories, to help you convert that imagination you may have into reality. Because not everything is impossible. I mean, I would say many things are possible. And let's not lose that spark of innovation or creativity because you're not able to get an answer. Try to get an answer. I'm sure they will find it. So never lose hope and try to work on that. And the best of ideas and structures we've seen now sometimes come from small firms, much more than the bigger firms. So that is something I would definitely want to say. On the other side, yes, I think it's stressful. I mean, no job is easy, I would say. And with the deadlines, with the pressures of now cost, also the element of sustainability and environment and everything. So there's always, do try to ensure that all your employees or whatever are, and we just spoke about that actually, in that we laid the right base in that sense, that meditation will even lead to more opening up of creative juices or senses within your own body. Because when the mind is clear, when the mind is rest, there's no churning. I mean, it's like water. When there are no waves, I mean, or in a lake, you just see crystal clear water. You can even see the smallest of plant or a stone on the bed of that pond or lake. Is the same thing. So things exist. Everybody is creative. It's just that we are so much doing so many things. Our mind is at work so many times that we are not able to see it clearly. So it already exists. And possibly this element can connect to the first point, that the creative elements are known and come out most strongly because you're able to see things much clearly also.
His name is Nitin Govila. You can learn more about Serge Ferrari at their website, sergeferrari.com. I highly recommend that you go there and see what can be accomplished with composite
materials or technical fabrics, if you may say so.
Right. Yeah. Fabrics is what comes to mind for me, but I know but it's amazing what can be done with that material. And so, the diversity of what can be done is really interesting. So sergeferrari.com. Nitin is available on LinkedIn and Facebook. You could just search his name. We'll have links to both LinkedIn and Facebook to Nitin directly. If you want to reach out to him directly by email, if it's about the architecture side, the material side, Serge Ferrari, the email is nitin.govila@sergeferrari.com. And if you want to talk to him personally about meditation and heartfulness, nitingovala@gmail.com, no dot on the Gmail, and yes, a dot on the Serge Ferrari. We'll have links to that in the show notes as well. Just go to the show notes. We'll have links to all of that stuff. Nitin, thank you. I appreciate you for coming by here. This is a rare evening recording for me. I appreciate you you're up early in the morning for me, and it has been an inspiring conversation, and I think you may have triggered me to start meditating again, and I appreciate that, and thank you for sharing that with my community, because I think having that knowledge and that encouragement to try meditation with such a simple way of doing it, I think you may change lots of people's lives today. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks a lot for your kind words and having me here. Yes, I mean, I really enjoyed it. If I can even kind of, I would influence is the wrong word actually, but kind of nudge you in that direction that you can restart your meditation, I'm more than happy to share that and learn about that, that it can help you in that direction, and happy to even connect more to take forward if you want to discover a new type of meditation in your journey.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Mark.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a rating, write a review, share a link with a friend. That's how Entree Architect has grown to serve thousands of architects just like you. Please share a rating, write a review, share a link to this episode with a friend. I'd appreciate it. Links to all our sponsors and all the resources we discussed today are available at the show notes for this episode found at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. It's the network dedicated to architects, engineers, and construction pros. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at Gable Media at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. Go check it out. We have, I think, 13 podcasts over there now. Gablemedia.com. And before we wrap up, a special thank you to our partners at Graphisoft for helping our community of architects make the transition to BIM with ArchiCAD software. Go now to graphisoft.com/us/entrearchitect and see how Graphisoft is positioning to help make your architecture firm a success. Visit graphisoft.com/us/entrearchitect to learn more. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage. Love, learn, and go share what you know. Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges. just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.
Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.